Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And a very pleasant good morning. Welcome to Going Low. Paul Alexander with you until 8 o'clock. And we're just going to get right to it. Why mess around? We're going right to one of the very, very elite golf writers who's been doing it for, at what point, Gary, does it become you don't want to be told how long you've been doing this? I mean, I think it's a badge of honor, but a lot of people get a little uptight about getting old. I hope you're okay with being one of the senior writers covering golf for all of us. How do you feel about the 41 years you will be going down Magnolia Lane to cover a Masters? I would imagine pretty proud.
Well, I think we should back up, and I think we should still just mess around for a while, Paul. I don't know.
You know what? I'm pretty famous for that.
Yeah, it's weird to think I've been to the Masters. This will be my 41st time. I remember Dan Jenkins or somebody saying, maybe it was Herman Bischer, those guys had went to 60-some. They said, wow. Once you hit 52, you spent a year of your life in Augusta at the Masters, which sounds pretty good on one hand. On the other hand, like a year? So you went there for a year and you didn't play the course? Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. We're with Gary Van Sickle. Who did you start writing for all those? Who did you cover your first Masters for?
I started at the Milwaukee Journal, an afternoon paper. And in case anybody remembers either a newspaper or an afternoon newspaper, you got to be our age, remember that. And then that's a long story, but Golf Digest was bought by the New York Times, or Golf World Magazine, a weekly, was bought by the New York Times, moved from Pinehurst to Connecticut to be with Golf Digest. They stole my sports editor in Milwaukee to run Golf Magazine. He stole me to go with him. So I was at Golf World for 8 or 9 years. It was kind of the Bible of the tour, because nobody was covering the tour that hard. This is before the internet. And then Sports Illustrated stole my managing editor. They started a golf section within SI. It was a special customized deal where you had to ask for it. It was free. It was called Golf Plus.
I remember that.
Yeah, it went to like half a million of the 3 million Sports Illustrated subscribers. But if you can remember a time when a magazine would have 3 million subscribers. And
I couldn't wait for every Thursday to get mine. And I got Golf Digest every week as well.
You know, just depending on how old you are, certain things were just etched in stone. And Sports Illustrated, at one point, was the center of the sports universe.
Well,
and
I mean,
ESPN in the 90s kind of blew right by that. And by the 2000s, you know, the writing was on the wall. And, yeah, so, and then Sports Illustrated went under. The golf section went away. Sports Illustrated started dumping people, salary dump to get rid of people. So they could sell the company. They sold, I mean, Paul, think of it, Time Inc. They sold the Time Inc. empire of all those magazines, People, Entertainment Weekly. I mean, these hugely successful magazines. They sold them all, and Sports Illustrated got sold and resold and resold, and it's barely a monthly now. And even the website, I've been writing, contributing to SI.com, even that shut down a couple of weeks ago because the owners were behind on the rent, leasing the SI name. So they've got that worked out, supposedly. And look, if you're going to cover golf, you better have some stories the week of the Masters, because in advertising, the Masters in golf is the week of the year.
It's the king.
And if you miss that, then the rest of the year is not much. So they've got it straightened out, and we'll see. We'll see if they're, I'm going to have some stories for SI.com or if I will be appearing elsewhere next week. But I am going.
You're appearing regardless.
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, look, I've got a parking spot now. When you hit 40 years, you get an award. You get a parking spot with a sign with your name on it.
Wow.
It's right by the fence, so you're near the press center. So, you know, it's kind of worth it just for that. You gotta go back just to park your car there.
I would.
Say you did, take a picture of it. So,
heck yeah, man. That's living.
So that's where it is, 41 years, and the place has changed. So, you know, the world changed in 41 years. I mean,
yes.
Who are we kidding?
Now, as far as the legendary, you know, you put your name, I guess, in a big hat, and they pull your name to play on Monday. Have you ever been selected to be able to play on the Monday after the Masters?
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Nice.
In the old days, I think the first time was like 81, 82. In the old days, that you got in line on Saturday morning. And you stood there until the gigantic security guard, who probably weighed 350 pounds, of course, his name was Tiny,
of course,
Southern guy, you know, he always came up with, he'd get on the PA and say, the golf riders meeting is fixing to commence. Anyways, you stood in line Saturday morning to put your name on a board. When Tiny said you could start signing, you got it. So another guy and I, you know, we were there early, and they took 20 riders and 20 TV radio people.
Nice.
So we got in, and then they changed. You can only do it once in your life. And then they changed the rules later because they changed the course, and they said you could do it a second
time. Because the course is different.
They changed it. Yeah, then they said every 8 years you could put your name back in. So I did it again in like 2001. Put my name in the lottery and got in. I haven't even, this is going to sound terrible, but I haven't even been putting my name in the last few years. I mean, I've been eligible for a while to do it again, but,
I mean, once the bucket list is complete, I guess, you know, you've done it.
Well, you'd like to, it's April. Anytime, you know, any golfer knows this. If you get a chance, let's say you get invited to play Oakmont for the first time and it's April and your game, you don't even have a game yet. You can't,
yeah, barely have a swing.
Yet. And you go out to Oakmont and you shoot a million. And no matter how great Oakmont is, it's hard to enjoy playing bad. In fact, it kind of, I had a chance to play and I played terrible. It's hard to enjoy it.
It is.
So it's kind of that way. And, you know, you look at the weather forecast, it's going to rain on Monday possibly. You look ahead and I don't know. I haven't been doing it, and I've had other things to do. I had to go to another turn. I don't know. So,
you're probably ready to get out of there on Monday. I mean, you've been busting it all week.
Yeah, well,
like, it's like, let's get out of here.
That's a weak argument to somebody who has never played Augusta.
Correct.
They look at you and say,
"You're out of your mind."
I've had people say, "You make me sick."
Now, Gary, when you did play, did you go all the way back, or did you play like the men's tees?
They don't let you go all the way back. You have caddies. The first time I did it, I had a guy who was, he said he was a really nice guy, a little old black gentleman named Jimmy. He was Gene Littler's caddy in the Masters.
Wow. And, Dr. Gene Littler.
And we had to play the members' tees, which on number 11, you're moved way up.
Yeah.
And then the second time I played, they're so short, they don't have enough club caddies. And I didn't know this when I was playing in 2001. I'm playing in the front nine. And, I wanted to play better, and I'd hit some balls during the week. And I screwed up first couple of holes. The guy gave me a bad yardage on number 3, and I think I made a double.
Ouch.
I find out on the fifth green from one of the other caddies that my caddy's from New Jersey. He just came in for the day.
He has no idea what's going on at Augusta.
No, he's reading the putts, and the other two guys are, who are working, shaking their head, all right. So I started over. I think I shot 45 on the front, and I finished bogey in the back to shoot 35. So
woo!
I shot 80,
okay.
But at the time 79 would have sounded better.
And isn't that I have 4 separate 80s at Oakmont. Why couldn't one of those? And
right.
And twice I doubled 17 from Big Mouth. I mean, it's just that day was with Bob Ford, and I hit a soft sand wedge into the green. High, short of the pin, and it just wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop, and Bob Ford just said, "Paulie, welcome to Oakmont."
Yeah,
that was it.
Well,
I mean, that there's no explanation. That's just the way it is sometimes.
Oakmont has a strange masochistic streak that has affected a lot of the clubs in the area.
Yeah, you're right.
Where, harder is better, and I don't know. You have to get better to survive Oakmont.
It is survival.
The members there, you got to be a great player. Otherwise, you're never going to have any fun.
No.
And Augusta's not that way at all.
It seems friendly.
Yeah, it's friendly. The course is kind of wide open. I'm sure they mow the rough. I mean, they don't even have rough. It's just slightly longer. He can spray your ball anywhere and still have a swing. So that makes it fun. And the greens are... not as fast as they are during Masters Week, unlike Oakmont. So it's a fantastic members course. I know that there's an image that these guys are rich. Well, they are rich.
They are.
But they're not snobs. They're very friendly. And the course is really a delight. And nobody's going down there and playing 70 rounds a year at Augusta National. You don't do that. You don't abuse your membership. So, it's a pretty nice. It would be a pretty nice place to play. So, I don't know. I mean, the score is not really important. The day I messed up and my caddy was from New Jersey on the 7th tee, I just said, I don't even know how many over I am, but I'm starting over right now. I'm even par. It's a beautiful day. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Perfect.
And I'm going to see what I can shoot, see if I can play these last holes and try to play better. And, I did. You can't be score conscious when you play, but it's hard not to when you get to play an epic golf course.
You're competitive. I mean, that's just the nature of it. You want to play well.
Right. You get to play Pebble Beach. I mean, you don't want to shoot 143.
No, of course
not. It takes the fun out of it.
Now, as far as this year's Masters, and I know we're in the middle of the the Texas Open right now, and that's fine, and it's great. We're going to pay attention to that, but everyone's kind of just gearing up for next weekend. And to me, it's almost like the AFL and the NFL, because you have 13 live guys coming over. And
meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA cleared and CE marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone free, and side effect free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What would it mean for like a Jon Rahm or one of these guys from LIV, a Brooks Koepka, to find a way to win the Masters? Would that help, or would that like force them to finally find a way to merge these two competitive tours?
You know, I think everybody, excuse me, most people on the PGA Tour side of this issue, I think everybody's so worn out. Everybody's got LIV golf fatigue.
Yep.
We're tired of this whole thing. And, you know, if you want to go play your little events around the world in obscurity and not get any attention and make a bunch of money at win tournaments that don't mean anything, I mean, go ahead. Keep it up. And I don't think, you know, LIV guys could win all four majors. I don't think it's going to affect the negotiations or anything. It's just, it'd be inconvenient truth of the PGA Tour that, well, we don't have all the best guys in the world anymore on our side, but there's room for two tours in golf. And I just don't see LIV getting any traction with what they've done. Nobody can name a tournament.
No.
You know,
and you can't follow
that,
it. It's impossible to follow.
Yeah. The team thing is different enough that you can almost see, like, well, gee, what if they ran this like a baseball league and each team with a franchise.
Yeah.
But team golf, you know, the members of the team are in different holes. If you've ever had, my son played college golf, Mike, he's still in the area, great player.
Tremendous.
In college golf, nobody knows what is going on.
Exactly.
You know, so even though you watch the Ryder Cup and all this two-man alternate shot is, you know, it's exciting because it's the Ryder Cup. It's not exciting because it's team golf.
Correct.
And they don't, you thought that might be a way to differentiate themselves, but the reality is there's no way to play team golf that's going to make it exciting. And the other reality is the real stars in professional golf are the tournaments themselves. We know I was going to say the Greater Milwaukee Open, but it's defunct. But we know the Texas Open. We know Torrey Pines.
Correct.
We know the Phoenix Open. We know these tournaments, and when a player wins them, we don't know the player, but we know the tournament. And people watch because the tournaments mean something. And LIV is never going to have that. So it's just a question of how long they want to throw money at it. And in the case of the Saudis, they have enough money
unlimited.
To do this forever. Now, why aren't they throwing money at the media? I'm available. Paul,
yeah.
You and I.
Let's go. Yeah. We'll do, you're already doing a great podcast that I love. And yeah,
I'm holding out for a four-figure deal. I'm not that expensive.
We're with Gary Van Sickle, the legendary golf writer who has spent 40 years covering the Masters, and it'll be 41 in just a week. And what is Mike up to right now? I remember, did he win two state championships when he was still in high school? Is that correct?
Probably. He won the state amateur. He won the state open. I think he's won the West Penn Open. Honestly, I've lost track.
He did a lot of really good stuff when he was playing golf.
He had his card on the Corn Ferry Tour, but he never got exempt,
ouch.
Which meant you still had to Monday qualify, and that's hard.
It's brutal.
So he knocked on the whole game in professional golf is there's 1,000 guys trying to get through the door that's got room for 15 guys.
Yeah.
And he just, you'd like to think if he had a full season on the Corn Ferry Tour that he could have, he would have done some damage.
Got top 25. I think he could have.
He never got on that. He never got through the door, and that's the game. So he gives, it turns out he's phenomenal at instruction. He's a great teacher. He gives lessons out at the simulators in no off-season in Mars.
Nice.
And simulator golf is a blast.
It is huge. It is huge everywhere right now. And the weather we get around here, I think it's going to get even bigger around here.
In South Korea, simulator golf is everything. They have they don't have that many golf courses, but they have 700,000 people who get off of work at 5 o'clock, go down to the simulator place, grab a six pack, and they pound it down. And while they play golf, it's like bowling links used to be in the U.S.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, and people go there and they learn the game on the simulator, which is a great way to learn because, you're not on a golf course. You're not slowing anybody down. You're not in anybody's way. You're not in, people are intimidated, beginners, by good players who, want to play through. They don't want you in their way.
Correct.
So that really hasn't been taken advantage of. And you got the places that, even outdoor places like Topgolf or indoor places, they want to sell you an hour worth of time on the simulator. And they want to sell you food and beverage.
Yeah, and they will.
And they aren't really that interested in teaching you how to play golf.
They just want you to have fun.
Only, somebody's going to catch on, a place like No Off Season. This is a great place to learn. And it's hard to find a good teacher in golf. Anybody will tell you that. And you don't know until you've taken lessons with somebody. So he's on that track. He still plays some. He's working on getting his PGA of America card. And he still plays in the tri-state section events. So, I'm getting worse every year. So, I used to beat him maybe once a year if he played his worst and I played my best. But, doesn't happen anymore.
No, that's a shame.
No, I'm going downhill. I'm getting shorter every year.
I know. We lose We lose 5 yards a year after 55, I read somewhere.
Well,
so I'm 63, so I've lost 35 yards or 40 yards, whatever. It's crazy.
Paul, why doesn't that work with weight, too?
I don't understand. I don't get it. It's just, life's not fair. I think that's, once you embrace that life's not fair, you're going to be fine.
It's like Oakmont. It's hard and it's not fair.
Exactly. Gary, I wish I had more time. Where can people find you? I know you're doing this great podcast. Where else can they find you?
Yeah, we just did a podcast yesterday, in fact, with, there's a new golf movie coming out called The Long Game. With Dennis Quaid. It's pretty good.
Nice.
It's about some Latino caddies in Del Rio, Texas, who want to get into a club and they can't, and they start their own golf team. It's kind of like Hoosiers.
Nice.
for golf, and we had those guys on the Golf Show 2.0. It's called The Long Game. They were fun. That's a good question. SI.com normally.
Hopefully.
I've been doing some stuff for ProGolfWeekly.com and NewEngland.golf. And the First Call is a newsletter you can sign up for. I'm definitely on there every other Wednesday. Hopefully I'm going to be in SI.com, but it's not a done deal yet this next week. So we'll see.
Well, Gary, thanks so much for getting up early, and let's tee it up one of these days soon.
Paul, it was great being had by you.
Gary Van Sickle, the legendary golf writer, he will be at Augusta next week. We got to take a timeout. This is Going Low. We're poured by Bell's Oberon Beer, which I think is still the coolest way to be represented as a sponsor. Poured by, and we're powered by Bowser, and we're also part of the Southwest Greens of Pennsylvania. We'll be back, and we also have a nice guest coming up in just a bit. Jeff Leishman will join us from Jupiter, Florida. That's all coming up on Going Low right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Going low indeed, and welcome back to the show. Paul Alexander with you. We are poured by Bell's Oberon Beer, powered by Bowser, and we're going to welcome back to the show. And I'm very excited when someone's willing to do this twice with me, because you know, usually it's one and done with me. Jeff Leishman, checking in from Jupiter, Florida. He is a teacher of great golfers, and I just can't even imagine how much fun that must be, Jeff, that you get to see guys go challenge a situation like the Masters, and you've had pupils, you've had students go challenge Augusta, have you not?
I have, yes. I'm glad you didn't scare me away the last time. So
see, that's a relief.
That.
That's a relief. I love that.
Yes.
See, that's always the telltale test. Back for
more. I'm an early morning person as well, so this gets my brain rocking and rolling first thing in the morning.
As far as the challenges of Augusta, is there that moment? Certainly, there's always a first time, and I'm sure, the guys that you've been teaching, the guys that you've instructed, what's it like for them that first time? I mean, I can't even imagine the emotion and the nerves and all the things that come with that.
Well, there is certainly the aura and the stories that are associated with Augusta National. And then there is the getting down to business of preparing so that it seems as much as possible like a regular event. And that's the challenge, to try to bring your skills to that place and not necessarily let the environment influence you too much so that you make it seem like a too grand a stage, basically, because it's there's certainly a lot of the things about it that will make it seem like the lights are brighter.
And from everything I've gathered, and I just had a gentleman on that he's heading there for his 41st Masters to cover it as a member of the media, which to me, 41 years, that's amazing. But he said, and he's been lucky enough to play it in those, you know, after the event's over, he's played a couple of Mondays. And he said, it's really wide open. I mean, when you're standing on the tee box, the rough isn't, you know, we have Oakmont up here, which you're familiar with. If you hit it into the rough at Oakmont, you may break your wrist trying to get it out. That's not the situation. What makes the Masters so challenging when it really doesn't have some of the other, you know, it doesn't have U.S. Open-like conditions? What makes it so difficult?
Well, it's about positioning. So when you are putting the ball in the right spots relative to the hole on approaches or setting up the right tee shots, I think that's why you see runs of birdies and why people will have these spells of great play and what seems like the golf course is easy. And then as soon as you're out of position, whether it's off the tee or just even in putts, suddenly it gets ridiculously hard. So that is in your mind, and I'm convinced that Augusta gets harder the more times you play it. You know, generally the belief is that, you know, it gets easier because you know there are these nuances, but I'm actually of the opposite opinion. It gets harder because you know, like, ooh, if I go there, if I'm here to this pin, now then all of a sudden it starts to look really actually quite narrow off the I can use the example of the first hole. Is that the first time that I went there, I thought, well, why is the first hole so hard? Well, you can challenge the bunker on the right off the tee, and that makes the fairway essentially half as wide. But if you play short of the bunker, now you're hitting a much longer club into the green from an upslope. So there's all these little choices that you make. It's the epitome of choices and all these different ways to play it, and I think that that's really why people spend a lifetime trying to figure it out.
Now, Jeff, when you had obviously an expectation of Augusta, and then once you got there and once you made that drive down Magnolia Lane, and how did it stack up to what your expectations were, and what stood out about it once you got there and finally got to experience it?
Well, certainly the manicured nature of everything from one of the first years that I was there was a thunderstorm. It was a pretty violent storm that had occurred during the night, and there were trees that were down. And I remember one of the trees on Magnolia Lane had come down, and it was messy. It had not fallen across the lane, but it had fallen. And then, in what seems like a matter of hours, it had disappeared. Like, it was sort of like magical that it had just gone. It was like somehow they had airlifted it out of there. So that part, and then the thing that most people say is how hilly it is.
Yeah, like the elevation.
The slopes are much more extreme. Like, you could probably legitimately ski down the 10th fairway.
Is that probably as difficult a par 4 that you'll find at Augusta, number 10?
Yeah, number 10. And then not so much anymore because of how far people hit it, but 18, it was very difficult for the same slope. I mean, you're coming back up that same slope the other way. But 10, because you're hitting, you got to hook it as a right-handed golfer, basically, and then you have to hit off a down slope to a backup green that is not really suited for that. So there's a lot of things that are uncomfortable about 10.
When you get your guys ready to attack Augusta, are there certain strategies that are in place just for Augusta, or is it just you have to bring your best game and your best mentality?
I would say the latter, because if you let the golf cart start to play you, let's just say with short game, where you start to try to adapt shots just for that place, you don't have the level of ownership and the time to play them, and then it doesn't go well. So you really got to, and you see this from the veterans, people who have been there a number of times, they go through their shots. This is some of them. And I remember John Rahm last year talking about how much he had prepared for the tee shot on 13 and also the second shot on 8. And so he'd specifically worked on these drawing shots to deal with them, and then there was a very pivotal point in the final round where he was going to decide whether he's going to use it or not. And if you go back and happen to watch that shot in the telecast, you'll see like how gratifying or how happy he is that it came out when he needed it. So that's an example, I think, of both of the question that you asked. Like, he's been there enough to prepare for that one or two shots. Where most of it, though, is he's bringing his left to right. You see that more now. People used to be thought of, if you hit the ball left to right, you just couldn't play the place as a right-handed golfer. And with Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm and other cutters of the ball, Dustin, they've figured out how to bring their shots to a place that has a lot of very dominant draw shots for a right-handed golfer.
And how do you work with people? And I finally have given up. I was obsessed with working the ball. I was so fascinated that I actually was able to do that, you know, to hit a cut when I needed to, hit a draw when I needed to. But I would double-cross myself at least two or three times a round, and that would be my two or three double bogeys, which ruin a good round. How do you work with, John Rahm's a predominantly left-to-right player, like you mentioned. Now, when a shot calls for a draw, calls for a hook, how do you teach that? I mean, I know it's stance and alignment and grip and everything, but how do you get someone in their head to be okay with, you know what, that's not my normal shot, but I got to hit it here?
Well, usually it is a more exaggerated feel. Tiger has historically been a really good example of that. If he's going to hit a different shape, he exaggerates the swing path. And with TrackMan now, you can measure those path numbers, and so you have a reference and then a numerical measurement of what that path is. And the reason why shaping it is less of what you see in, especially in pressure situations in golf now, people predominantly ride one shot, is that if you're introducing two different variables, like the path is changing as well as the face alignment, it's much more difficult to do. So you'll see people riding one shape because then it's really the one variable, the club face and the alignment to that path. So that would be my explanation on why John Rahm was still like in that situation. Like, okay, I'm going to deviate from my pattern to hit this shot, and I'm going to use this feel that he probably was practicing for.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Well, a month. Yeah. Before.
Sure. That's phenomenal. I got to do an event. They had the senior PGA here. I'm not sure what senior event it was, but we did a little chipping contest. With Tom Lehman, and if you're familiar with Tom's game, he is the most predominant, you know, right to left player I think that's ever been on tour. I mean, he cannot make the goal. He can't make it go to the right. Like, I would just tease him and say, oh, you know what? I think you're blocked out here. And he would be on the tee box, but there'd be a tree on the left side. I'm like, you're blocked out here. We just had so much fun. But is it so much safer to just go with what your ball flight normally is?
Yes, it is. And in teaching amateur golfers who were very dominant, as a right-handed golfer, let's say left to right path, and they were playing the slice and they were obsessed by, or at least really motivated to get rid of it. but if their body wasn't moving that way, most of what I said is like, why don't you just live with this?
Yeah.
I mean, be the Tom Lehman of the ball going fairly far left to right, and you'll enjoy this a lot more. That you're not fighting it. And, a lot of my job, even with professional golfers, is figuring out whether the pattern that they want or see matches with how they move. And if that doesn't happen, then golf gets exponentially harder.
Yeah, and so, it's already hard enough, as we know.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff, thank you so much for your time. People can find you at Jeff Leishman Golf. Is that correct? Is that
Yeah.
I love it.
Golf.com.
And hopefully someday I'm going to come down there and visit you at the Dye Preserve, because Jupiter Hills blew my mind, but I would imagine the Dye Preserve is just as awesome.
It's a very nice place. Yeah. And I'm in the car driving there this morning. It's a beautiful sunny day down here.
Oh,
and I get to hang out and talk about golf.
Jeff, God bless you, and thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, it was good chatting with you.
All right. Jeff Leishman, he is at the Dye Preserve in Jupiter, Florida, and what a great guest, and I'm sure an amazing teacher. All right, we got to get to a quick break here. We're going low. We are powered by Bowser. We're poured by Bell's Oberon Beer. And since I can't play golf today, at least we get to talk about it right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And welcome back to Going Low. Paul Alexander with you. Boy, time just flies when you're having fun. And a reminder, you know, circle June 14th. That is the Joe Starkey, Jim Colony shootout at Foxburg Country Club. It is the oldest operating golf course in the entire country. And it's going to be a Ryder Cup kind of format. Get in touch with the folks at Foxburg and make sure you get in, because it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Two of my favorite people, actually, to be around and play golf with, Joe Starkey, and he's one of those awesome converts that he used to come on the air all the time, and actually he would make me very angry when he would just rip golf, just talking about how stupid it is and how can anyone watch it, why would you even want to play it. He gets a taste of it, and now he's obsessed, and he's openly honest about how addictive his personality is. He is right now, like, dangerously addicted to golf, like, dangerously. Like, it's like, thankfully, golf is not harmful. I mean, it can be a little bit time-consuming, but it's not harmful, and he's insanely addicted. And, Jimmy, of course, has, gone off into the retirement world, but He's done what every, I think so many guys, when they retire, you know what you want to do? You want to be a starter at a golf course. And that's what Jimmy's doing. So it's just all good. And actually, I saw the little tribute to Tom Walker, you know, Neil Walker's dad yesterday. He's no longer with us now. But I remember one of my favorite rounds of golf in Bradenton with Jim and Tom Walker. And we just had such a blast talking about Neil and talking about his relationship with Roberto Clemente and on and on and on. But, hey, thanks so much for being a part of this. We got to get we got to make way for Pat Bostic. Is that correct? Is that what happens here next? You know, and Pat and I are going to get on the golf course. He's another one that I think he said he's a four. That's some golf right there. We're powered by Bell's Oberon Beer. We're powered by Bowser, and we love being with you. Matt Harkins, great job as always. We'll do it again next week. Sounds good to me. Have a great rest of your weekend. God bless you, and hopefully we get weather where we can actually play golf instead of just talk about it. Have a great rest of your weekend. Take care.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Whether it's off the tee or just even in putts, suddenly it gets ridiculously hard. So that is in your mind. And I'm convinced that Augusta gets harder the more times you play it. You know, Generally the belief is that, you know, it gets easier because you know there are these nuances. But I'm actually of the opposite opinion. It gets harder because you know, like, ooh, if I go there, if I'm here to this pin, now then all of a sudden it starts to look really actually quite narrow off the, like, you, I mean, I can use the example of the first hole. Is that the first time that I went there, I thought, well, why is the first hole so hard? Well, you can challenge the bunker on the right off the tee, and that makes the fairway essentially half as wide. But if you play short of the bunker, now you're hitting a much longer club into the green from an upslope. So there's all these little choices that you make. It's the epitome of choices and all these different ways to play it. And I think that that's really why people spend a lifetime trying to figure it out.
Now, Jeff, when you had obviously an expectation of Augusta, and then once you got there and once you made that drive down Magnolia Lane, and how did it stack up to what your expectations were, and what stood out about it once you got there and finally got to experience it?
Well, certainly the manicured nature of everything from the one of the first years that I was there, there was a thunderstorm. It was a pretty violent storm that had occurred during the night, and there were trees that were down. And I remember one of the trees on Magnolia Lane had come down, and it was messy. It had not fallen across the lane, but it had fallen. And then, well, in what seemed like a matter of hours, it had disappeared. Like, it was sort of like magical that it had just gone. It was like somehow they had airlifted it out of there. So that part, and then the thing that most people say is how hilly it is.
Yeah, like, the elevation.
The slopes are much more extreme. Like, you could probably legitimately ski down the 10th fairway.
Is that probably as difficult a par 4 that you'll find at Augusta, number 10?
Yeah, number 10. And then not so much anymore because of how far people hit it, but 18, it was very difficult for the same slope. I mean, you're coming back up that same slope the other way. But 10, because you're hitting, you got to hook it as a right-handed golfer, basically, and then you have to hit off a down slope to a backup green that is not really suited for that. So there's a lot of things that are uncomfortable about 10.
When you get your guys ready to attack Augusta, are there certain strategies that are in place just for Augusta, or is it just you have to bring your best game and your best mentality?
I would say the latter, because if you let the golf cart start to play you, let's just say with short game, where you start to try to adapt shots just for that place, you don't have the level of ownership and the time to play them, and then it doesn't go well. So you really got to, and you see this from the veterans, people who have been there a number of times, they go through their shots. This is some of them. And I remember John Rahm last year talking about how much he had prepared for the tee shot on 13 and also the second shot on 8. And so he'd specifically worked on these drawing shots to deal with them, and then there was a very pivotal point in the final round where he was going to decide whether he was going to use it or not. And if you go back and happen to watch that shot in the telecast, you'll see like how gratifying or how like happy he is that it came out when he needed it. So that's an example, I think, of both of the question that you asked. Like, he's been there enough to prepare for that one or two shots. Where most of it, though, is he's bringing his left to right. You see that more now. People used to be thought of, if you hit the ball left to right, you just couldn't play the place as a right-handed golfer. And with Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm and other cutters of the ball, Dustin, they've figured out how to bring their shots to a place that has a lot of very dominant draw shots for a right-handed golfer.
And how do you work with people? And I finally have given up. I was obsessed with working the ball. I was so fascinated that I actually was able to do that, you know, to hit a cut when I needed to, hit a draw when I needed to. But I would double-cross myself at least two or three times around, and that would be my two or three double bogeys, which ruin a good round. How do you work with, I mean, you know, John Rahm's a predominantly left-to-right player, like you mentioned. Now, when a shot calls for a draw, calls for a hook, how do you teach that? I mean, I know it's stance and alignment and grip and everything, but how do you get someone in their head to be okay with, you know what, that's not my normal shot, but I got to hit it here?
Well, usually it is a more exaggerated feel. Tiger has historically been a really good example of that. If he's going to hit a different shape, he exaggerates the swing path. And with TrackMan now, you can measure those path numbers, and so you have a reference and then a numerical measurement of what that path is. And the reason why shaping it is less of what you see in, especially in pressure situations in golf now, people predominantly ride one shot, is that if you're introducing two different variables, like the path is changing as well as the face alignment, it's much more difficult to do. So you'll see people riding one shake because then it's really the only the one variable, the club face and the alignment to that path. So that would be my explanation on why John Rahm was still like in that situation. Like, okay, I'm going to deviate from my pattern to hit this shot, and I'm going to use this feel that he probably was practicing for.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Well, a month. Yeah. Before.
Sure. That's phenomenal. I got to do an event. They had the senior PGA here. I'm not sure what senior event it was, but we did a little chipping contest. With Tom Lehman. And if you're familiar with Tom's game, he is the most predominant, you know, right to left player I think that's ever been on tour. I mean, he cannot make the goal. He can't make it go to the right. Like, I would just tease him and say, oh, you know what? I think you're blocked out here. And he would be on the tee box, but there'd be a tree on the left side. I'm like, you're blocked out here. We just had so much fun. But is it so much safer to just go with what your ball flight normally is?
Yes, it is. And in teaching amateur golfers who were very dominant, as a right-handed golfer, let's say left to right path, and they were playing the slice and they were obsessed by, or at least really motivated to get rid of it. but if their body wasn't moving that way, most of what I said is like, why don't you just live with this?
Yeah.
I mean, be the Tom Lehman of the ball going fairly far left to right, and you'll enjoy this a lot more. That you're not fighting it. And, like a lot of my job, even with professional golfers, is figuring out whether the pattern that they want or see matches with how they move. And if that doesn't happen, then golf gets exponentially harder.
Yeah, and so, it's already hard enough, as we know.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff, thank you so much for your time. People can find you at Jeff Leishman Golf. Is that correct? Is that
– Yeah.
I love it.
Golf.com.
And hopefully someday I'm going to come down there and visit you at the Dye Preserve because Jupiter Hills blew my mind, but I would imagine the Dye Preserve is just as awesome.
It's a very nice place. Yeah. And I'm in the car driving there this morning. It's a beautiful sunny day down here.
Oh,
and I get to hang out and talk about golf.
Jeff, God bless you. And thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, it was good chatting with you.
All right. Jeff Leishman, he is at the Dye Preserve in Jupiter, Florida. And what a great guest and I'm sure an amazing teacher. All right. We got to get to a quick break here. We're going low. We are powered by Bowser. We're poured by Bell's Oberon Beer. And since I can't play golf today, at least we get to talk about it right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And welcome back to Going Low. Paul Alexander with you. Boy, time just flies when you're having fun. And a reminder, you know, circle June 14th. That is the Joe Starkey, Jim Colony shootout at Foxburg Country Club. It is the oldest operating golf course in the entire country. And it's going to be a Ryder Cup kind of format. Get in touch with the folks at Foxburg and make sure you get in because it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Two of my favorite people, actually, to be around and play golf with, Joe Starkey and he's one of those awesome converts that he used to come on the air all the time. And actually, he would make me very angry when he would just rip golf, just talking about how stupid it is and how can anyone watch it? Why would you even want to play it? He gets a taste of it, and now he's obsessed. And he's openly honest about how addictive his personality is. He is right now, like, dangerously addicted to golf. Like, dangerously. Like, it's like, thankfully, golf is not harmful. I mean, it can be a little bit time-consuming, but it's not harmful. And he's insanely addicted. And, you know, Jimmy, of course, has, you know, gone off into the retirement world. But he's done what I think so many guys, when they retire, you know what you want to do? You want to be a starter at a golf course. And that's what Jimmy's doing. So it's just all good. And, actually, I saw the little tribute to Tom Walker, you know, Neil Walker's dad yesterday. He's no longer with us now. But I remember one of my favorite rounds of golf in Bradenton with Jim and Tom Walker. And we just had such a blast talking about Neil and talking about his relationship with Roberto Clemente and on and on and on. But hey, thanks so much for being a part of this. We got to get we got to make way for Pat Bostic. Is that correct? Is that what happens here next? You know, and Pat and I are going to get on the golf course. He's another one that I think he said he's a four. That's some golf right there. We're powered by Bell's Oberon Beer. We're powered by Bowser, and we love being with you. Matt Harkins, great job as always. We'll do it again next week. Sounds good to me. Have a great rest of your weekend. God bless you, and hopefully we get weather where we can actually play golf instead of just talk about it. Have a great rest of your weekend. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.